Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. So we are, this week, Be'ezras Hashem, we're beginning Chovis Halvavis Shah Avodas Elokim. So if you have the Lev Tov edition, it's page Kuf Pei Aleph. In the English edition, I don't know what the page is, but it's the beginning of the gateway. I suppose they would call it the gateway of service of Hashem. And if you're not going to follow inside, I think you'll be just fine. Okay, let's start. We've been saying time and time again that the Chovis Halavos, up till now, we've been learning Shaar HaBechina. Shaar HaBechina has put us through a course, which I hope that by now, on the one hand, Shaar HaBechina is a lifetime career. To be studying, noticing, and then internalizing and appreciating all the chesed of Hashem that surrounds us and all the signs of Hashem that surrounds us and turning it into a dynamic part of our life. So on the one hand, there's a sense that have we exhausted the issue? We really just introduced the issue. Now there's so much work ahead and it really is a lifetime career. And the truth is that it is. It's a lifetime career. But on the other hand, I think that the weeks that we spent studying this did infiltrate our minds, and it did set us in the direction of thinking that way. Now, in general, with Chovis Halvavos, Sfarim like Chovis Halvavos, Sfarim like Mesilas Yesharim, when you learn the things they're saying, on the one hand, each stage of the Sefer that you learn, you feel like, okay, how can I move on? There's so much work to do here. But on the other hand, there's the other track. The other track is, okay, I have influenced my mind in a certain direction. Now let's see where it goes further. It's true. There's still a lot more work to be done before we could really consider ourselves ready to move on. But nevertheless, if we're just going to stay with the Bechina our whole lives, we may just get stuck and not really move anywhere. So yes, we spent a number of weeks getting used to the idea of learning to see the chasodim of Hashem in our lives, to experience it. And as we kept on saying throughout those weeks, where Chovis Halvavos is going with this is to reach a place that after starting to experience all that, you start developing a sense of indebtedness, and therefore you develop more of a sense of dedication to Hashem. You want to do more for Him, so to speak. And this is what this Shaar is about. Shaar Avodas Elokim, service of Hashem, which really the idea is you move from appreciation to commitment, from appreciation to dedication. Okay. Now, what the Chovis Halvavos is going to do here is a bit of we'll call it an exercise with our way of thinking. He's going to introduce some startling ideas in order to make a point. So, let's see. Let's begin reading inside, and then probably we'll move to just discussing it outside. So on Kuf Pei Aleph, again, the beginning of Shaar Avodas Elokim, the beginning of the gateway to the service of Hashem. Omer HaMechaber. So the Chovis Halvavos says, Mipnei she'bi'arnu b'ma she'ovah. Since we've already discussed in the previous chapters, Chiyuv Yichud Elokim b'lev shalem. Our obligation to understand Hashem's oneness. If you remember, that's the part of the Sefer that we did not learn. What we basically call, proving Hashem. Vafnei b'chinas tevois aval ha'odom. And then going to study, to contemplate all the chesed that He does for man. His chayavnu lizkra ha'kach. So then it behooves us to then discuss afterwards, ma sha'odom chayev linoig boy. What man should then do, what should the natural course be after a person really starts sensing and appreciating and feeling in his life everything that Hashem is doing for him, what should the natural next step be? The who? That is kibul avodas elokim, accepting upon ourselves to dedicate ourselves to Hashem's service, commitment to Hashem's service, kefi asher yechayveu haseichel lameitiv al misha heitiv loy. As the human mind would dictate that you have to do for someone who benefited you. So the Chavis Salavis is working with a premise. He considers it a most basic tenet of being a decent human being. He considers gratitude one of the most fundamental midas of a person who wants to consider himself a basic mensch, a basic decent human being. One of the most basic tenets of moral, ethical mentality is gratitude, appreciation. And therefore, the Chavis Salavis, his whole sefer rides on that. In the Chavis Halavis' world, as we'll see soon, the greatest level of Avodas Hashem, the greatest level of serving Hashem, is service that's coming from a place of gratitude. When we do our mitzvahs, it's coming from a place of gratitude. When we look to grow further, we're inspired and fueled or motivated by a sense of gratitude. This, according to the Chavis Halavis, is really the ultimate level of serving Hashem. Coming from just an inner motivation as a decent human being of feeling, of not wanting to be an ingrate. So now he goes through some discussion to develop the concept of gratitude. And here, as I said, he's going to tell us some startling points. So he continues now and he says, V'roi lahakdim b'psichas ha-shar hazeh. As we preface this shah, this discussion, we should preface it with, Bir ofne ha-toivais v'chiyuve ha-idoa aleihem. We should analyze different types of chasadim that people do for others, and the type of gratitude that would be expected, mibnei odom k'tosam l'k'tosam, from one person to another. This is in general a very important rule, that our interactions with people, our dynamics with people, are often meant to serve as a stepping stone for the way we interact and operate with Hashem. Meaning there aren't two completely separate tracks, you know, between one person and another, Bein Adam L'Chaver, and then Bein Adam L'Makom. There aren't two different tracks. Very often, our obligations toward Hashem are meant to be characterized in the way we relate to the people around us. Like the most classic example of that is the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, right? The mitzvah of Kibud Avaim. The mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, Chazal tell us that if a person relates properly to his parents, Hashem says, then I consider it as though I was with you. If you honor your parents, you show them due honor, I consider it as though I was with you and you showed me honor as well. If you don't honor your parents, then it's as though you didn't honor me either. Now, this is not just like this spiritual concept that it's so important to honor your parents that I consider it like you honored me. This is really a barometer of the way you would relate to Hashem. It's very easy to be in love with Hashem. Not so easy to be in love with Hashem. I shouldn't say that. But I'm saying sometimes a person can feel like my relationship with Hashem is very good. Why? Because it's not really real. It's not tangible. So my parents have a bit of a harder time. Why? Because my parents have their different things, and they have their different quirks, and it's hard to always accommodate them. But with Hashem, I have no problems with my relationship. But you know what the Torah is really telling us? The Torah is telling us, you know why that is? Because Hashem is theoretical. Hashem is abstract. If Hashem would be more real in your life, then you would not relate to Him much better than you relate to your parents. I'll give an example. Person walks by, you know, you walk by sometimes, this is common when you're in shul and it's crowded, you walk by a bench, and you bang your shin, the shin bone. That really, really hurts. Goes away, feels better after about 90 seconds. But when you hit your shin bone hard, it really hurts. And, you know, you might say, ouch. Depending on the level of refinement, you might say other words. There's a person sitting nearby who we can somehow connect it to, so we'll be happy to give him a dirty look, because what just happened hurt now, and you're upset, and you have someone to be upset at, that helps. Now, the truth is, you know, who did that? Hashem did that. Of course, there's an aspect of walking carefully also, but Hashem did that. it's quite likely that a person who lived with that realization in a real, real way might sometimes get irritated at Hashem. Now, that irritation, on the one hand, it sounds sacrilegious. What, you get irritated at Hashem? But on the other hand, it might actually reflect a truer, realer relationship with Hashem. And then you have to go to the next step and get to a place where, well, if Hashem did it, you accept it lovingly. But that's what Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say, that sometimes we hear about the people from ancient times who would show different signs of disrespect to Hashem because they were unhappy about something that he did, etc. So he said that, first of all, you can have a person who doesn't feel those things simply because Hashem isn't a real part of his life. First you have to get to a level where Hashem is a real part of your life and that the annoying things that happen are also Hashem doing. Then you have to get to the next level of being able to understand that if Hashem is doing it, then it's the right thing. But the point of it is that here we come back to, let's say, the mitzvah of honoring your parents or the mitzvah of relating to another Jew with respect, etc. If it's too difficult to deal with the irritating aspects, the annoying aspects of the people that Hashem put in your life and wants you to relate to with respect, then understand that your relationship with Hashem would not be much better if it was real. And that's why Hashem sets up these relationships. They are a test for us to test ourselves to see how we're really doing in our relationship with Hashem. So this is a very important point to understand. And therefore, the Chavos HaLevavos office is coming now and saying, we use a sense of gratitude that we feel toward other people as a stepping stone to get to the next level of really having a sense of gratitude and appreciation for Hashem. Okay, but now, so what does he do here? So he says, let's analyze different types of chassadim, different types of benefits that one human being might do for another. Let's analyze the type of gratitude that would be expected, and then let's go and try to apply that to the chassadim that Hashem does for us. So, he goes on and he says, so he said, let's analyze the benefits and the gratitude between people. V'nale mizeh, and then we'll go from there, to what we're obligated toward Hashem, in terms of praise and gratitude for all of His great chasodim upon us. And now, fasten your seatbelts and get ready for some novel understandings. So first of all, he says as follows, V'noimar. Let's start and say like this. He wants to set up certain premises in terms of the exercise he wants to do here. Ki min hayadua etzleinu, we all understand, ki kol meitiv eleinu, that if somebody does chesed for us, anu chayavim lahoydoisloi kefi kavanosoi lahoyilonu, our gratitude depends on his intent. His intent to benefit us. I'm going to continue a little bit outside instead of reading inside because I want to cover the ground here. He's making a point as follows. Let's say you know that a person really, really wanted to help you out with something. So he spent hours on the phone and then actually traveled and this and that trying to make it work, and in the end, it didn't come through. Do you owe this person gratitude? On the one hand, you could say, what do you mean? I never actually got anything from him. What am I supposed to be grateful for? But anybody with a sense of decency understands that this person, his intent was, and not just intent, it's not just that he was well-meaning, but he actually put in efforts to benefit you. And therefore, you do have a sense of gratitude toward him, even though nothing came out of it. And now, he also makes a point in the opposite direction, which is a bit more of a chiddush. He says, if somebody did something had absolutely no intent for you, no interest in helping you, and by accident, somehow it helped you too, he says, there is no debt of gratitude in such a case. This is surprising. This is something that we would have to analyze further. But this is how we'll at least take it in this sense, which is something that we can understand, that he's saying that a large dimension of gratitude has to do with the person's intent to help you. I wonder if the Chavis HaVavis is actually referring to the Gemara, where the Gemara talks about, you know, the discussion that some of the Chachamim were having about the Romans, where Rabbi Yehuda said, look how good the Romans are to us. Look how they built up the country. Look how they made bridges, and look how they made roads, and all kinds of things. And Rabbi Shimon Meir Chai said, good to us. It's all just done for their own interests. It's completely self-serving. They do it in order to collect tolls, etc. He very much disparaged their goodness by pointing out that it was all self-serving. I wonder if that's what the Chavis HaVavis is basing this on. But whatever it is, we don't have to focus on this too much, because his main point is a simple point that we can understand easily, and that is that the more a person intended to do, the more the debt of gratitude that we have. Meaning, yes, even if we'll say that if a person didn't exactly intend you, you still should be grateful, but certainly there's a lot more gratitude that you owe to a person who is focused on you and trying to help you. So that's number one. That's premise number one. Gratitude has a lot to do with intent. How much was he focused on you? How much did he want to help you? Okay, now premise number two. And here the discussion is going to get even more novel. He says, now let's have a look at all the different types of chasadim, kindness, that human beings do for each other. And he says, in general, they'll divide into five categories. First, I'm going to, if you want to follow along with me, we're on Kuf Pei Beis. I'll read a little bit inside, and then we'll elaborate again outside. We're on Kuf Pei Beis in the fifth line, the fourth line. In general, I try to give the shiurim in a way that you don't really need to be following the sefer, but I try to read inside enough that I could still claim to be learning Chavis HaLevavos. But yeah, we really are learning the Chavis HaLevavos, just not always with every word. But let's read a little bit inside, so again, we could say that, yeah, we're actually learning the sefer. So on the Kuf Pei Beis is the fourth line. If we will analyze the chasadim that people do for each other, you'll find them falling into five categories. Ha'echad, number one is toivas ha'av alaben, meaning we'll kind of say five different motivations, for five natures of chesed. One is a parent toward a child, a natural connection which automatically brings about a shower of love and chesed. Hasheni, number two is toivasa odin el avdoi. If a person owns a slave or employs a servant, he's going to provide him with benefit. He's going to give him money, give him food, give him a place to sleep. That's also a form of benefit. Hashlishi, number three is toivasa osher ala rosh kedei lekabel sechar shamayim. When a rich man gives tzedakah to a poor man, or helps him out in other ways, because he wants schar. He wants to receive reward from Hashem. Haravi, number four is, toivas mei odam k'tzosam liktzosam, when people will benefit each other, liknois Hashem va'kovoid v'ligmula oilam, because they want the recognition. They want to be noted as philanthropists, as Bali Chesed. They want people's respect, they want people's recognition. Hachamishi, number five is, Toivas hechozok ala chalosh, when a person, a more powerful person, will help out a weaker person, whether it's a wealthy person helping out a poor person, whether it's a strong person helping out a weak person, whatever it is, because he simply pities the person, he feels bad for him, he hurts for him, and therefore he helps him out. So let's see these five categories again. There is chesed that a parent does for a child. This we might consider the highest form of chesed in some ways. Number two is a boss for an employer or a master or a slave that he owns. This we might say, like we might put this on the lowest rung of chesed, because yes, he's benefiting him, but this is very clearly, you know, a business deal. I'm going to give you food and a place to sleep because I need you to work for me. So certainly the servant should be appreciative, but we might call this the lowest rung. Then we have a person who does chesed because he wants schar. We have a person who does chesed because he wants recognition. And we have a person who does chesed just because of his pity, because of his mercy. Now, what the Chofetz Chaim is going to do now is, to an extent, and if we have to have a careful perspective on what he's doing here, to an extent he's going to undermine all of them. But let's understand this. Really what he's doing is, if you just read this without getting exactly what he's trying to do, it could almost sound like revolting. Because what he's about to say is, again, bear with us until we make the point clear. But he's going to say some things that are going to sound very surprising, very startling. He's going to go on and say, well, a parent to a child, is that really such great chesed? It's natural. The parent doesn't have a choice in the matter. Parent can't help but love his child. A parent hurts the child's pain, and therefore it's like, doesn't deserve much credit. It's natural. Then he goes on and says, a person does it for schar. A person does it for schar. Okay, he's making a business deal. You know, he's trading in. He's giving some tzedakah in this world. He knows he's going to get a much greater profit in the next world. And then, okay, when you're talking about an employer with his employee, okay, it's obvious that it's self-serving. And certainly if a person is doing it for recognition, that's also, he's doing it for his own purposes, isn't really altruistic. And the last, which we also consider very, very noble, a person is doing it because he's a sensitive person and he feels bad for a suffering person. So the Chofetz Chaim here also comes and says, yeah, so you know what the problem is? The problem is that he can't sleep at night. He doesn't have peace knowing that this other person is suffering. So he tries to relieve his own sense of discomfort by helping the person out. Self-serving. Again, that sounds very harsh. But let's understand what the Chofetz Chaim is trying to do. He's making a very subtle point. On the contrary, these things are very noble. But what the Chofetz Chaim is trying to do is, really, he's not undermining chesed. What he's doing really is undermining human beings. That's really what he's doing. He's coming and saying, as great as a human being could be, it's always still going to be lacking in a certain way. Relative to Hashem. That really gives the perspective of what he's doing here. He's not coming and saying that, oh, this chesed isn't real chesed because the mother is helping her child. She's just helping herself. It's not really his point. His point is that relative to Hashem, it's less. Now that's already not insulting. If you come and tell a person, with all due respect, you're a great person, but you're not Hashem, okay, that's not so startling a point. So that is really the perspective that we have to take Chofetz Chaim here in, because that's really what he's trying to do. What he's coming to do is show us that only Hashem has absolute altruism. He's going to elaborate on that. Only Hashem has absolute altruism. A human being could be the most noble human being in the world, but it's still likely to be not absolutely altruistic. Not that it's any fault of the human being. On the contrary, this might be as great as a human being could be. But Hashem, it isn't. And Hashem's quality of chesed, it also isn't. That's his point. Let's understand that correctly. And now let's actually analyze the different things that he says while putting them into their proper perspective. A parent to a child is indeed considered one of the greatest forms of a benefactor, to the extent that Hashem Mamish says that, like we said before, they are representative of me. They are representative of me. If you treat your parent correctly, It's as though you're treating me correctly. Because what is a parent, Taka? A parent is Hashem's most direct representative of his own love for you. Hashem took the parent. Consider that. The natural love of a parent is, Taka, an amazing phenomenon. You can have people who are very, very selfish and stingy. But yet, when it comes to a child, it's a whole different story. And what's the idea? So we certainly do not have the right to come and say, hey, I learned the Chavis Alvavis, Dad, that, you know, Dad and Mom, that I don't really have to respect you that much because at the end of the day, it's just self-serving. You have no choice. It's just natural. Really, it's the other way around. It's the other way around. They have no choice. You know what they are? They are mamish Hashem's conduit to you. Hashem has a lot of love and care for you, but Hashem is operating behind the scenes in this world. He channels his love and his care through them. And therefore, you have to relate to them as something sacred. They are the most direct representative of Hashem in your life. But the Chavis HaVavis is telling us, but still consider. And therefore Hashem says you have to honor them immensely. You have to honor them immensely. But it's still not the same as Hashem's chesed. Because Hashem's chesed is not natural. Hashem's love for you was a decision. Hashem loves every Jew intensely. And also more than that, when a Jew is in pain, Hashem hurts along with him. But nevertheless, there's a big difference between Hashem and the merciful human being. And that is that a merciful human being, like we said before, it's natural. It's almost like he can't help it. He feels bad. He's going to have a hard time sleeping at night when he knows of the suffering that's going on. But Hashem is not like that. Hashem can not feel any sympathy. Hashem is not guided. Hashem is not controlled by emotions. Hashem's feelings for you, so to speak, is something that he decided to have, but they're very, very real. Hashem decided, I want to love this person. Hashem decided, I want to hurt when this person is hurting. It's a decision on his part. But once he did decide it, it's something extremely real. And the love that he feels toward you is something more intense than any love you've ever experienced. More intense than your parents' love. And so to speak, the pain that he feels when you're hurting is also something very, very intense. Just what? It's something that Hashem decided. Hashem decided out of his goodness that he wants to feel this. It wasn't automatic. Hashem is not controlled by feelings. He controls his own feelings. But he decides what he wants to feel. And therefore, the Chavis HaVavis is coming and saying, at the end of the day, take the greatest form of chesed that you can think of, the chesed of a parent to a child, and understand that Hashem's chesed toward you is still a notch above that. And the same goes for a person who's doing chesed because of his pity, because he feels bad for the other person. This is something that as Jews, we admire immensely. We, on the contrary, the Torah tells us, when the Torah gives the mitzvah of tzedakah, we see that it's not just enough to give tzedakah. Not just enough to say, oh, Hashem wants me to give tzedakah, I'm going to give tzedakah. The Torah says, lo sa'amitz es levavcha. When you're giving tzedakah, Hashem says, I also want your heart to be there in it. Don't leave your heart hard. I want you to actually hurt with the needy person. I want you to hurt with him. It's not just enough that you gave him your money. I want you to actually feel what he's feeling to whatever extent you can. So what the Chavis HaVavis is, so to speak, undermining here is actually something that as Jews we consider a very fundamental quality. We do consider it a fundamental quality to be hurting for another Jew. And nevertheless, the Chavis HaVavis is coming and telling us still Hashem's chesed is more noble because, again, he's not controlled by those feelings. He doesn't have to hurt. You naturally hurt for the poor person, and that's very noble as a human being. It's very noble, and it's very great. And on the contrary, A human being who isn't feeling that has to be working on himself. He has to feel it. But still, in Hashem's case, he also hurts for a suffering person. But in his case, it's a decision. And by the way, here I want to note that this is actually a certain qualification to what the Chovas HaLevavos is saying. If you want to actually do chesed in a way that the Chovas HaLevavos won't, so to speak, be able to poke holes in, it will be this. It will be in cases where you do exactly what Hashem does. You actually do not feel for the person naturally. You'll be fine just going on and leaving the person. But you know what? You say to yourself, no, but I do want to feel his pain. I want to feel his pain the same way Hashem decided to feel my pain. And therefore, you spend time trying to think about what he might be feeling. And then you actually start hurting. And then you do chesed for him. This actually is something that isn't natural. It's something that you're doing as a child of Hashem who's emulating Hashem. This, I dare say, would perhaps be a certain exception to the rule of Chovas HaLevavos is saying. Here, you're mamish doing chesed, not on a scale of Hashem, certainly not, but in the way that Hashem does it, through the decision that I want to hurt for this person. Now, there was the story of there was a famous Rav of Lodz. His name was Rabbi Eliachayim Meisel. And he, one very cold wintry night, went out collecting for some of the poor of the city of Lodz. He considered the poor of Lodz his responsibility. And he came to the home of one of the wealthy people in Lodz, knocked on the door. A servant came to the door and saw that he asked to speak to the balabais. The servant asked who wants to see him. He said, tell him, Rabbi Chaim Meisel. Went in and reported to the balabais. Oh, the famed Rav of Lodz, he came rushing to the door. He came rushing to the door to welcome the Rav in. I'm very privileged to have him come to his house. So Rabbi Chaim stood at the door and began telling him about this family that he's collecting for, and describing to him how they don't have food, and they're stuck in a ramshackle hut without proper heating, and trying to describe to him the very, very tough day-to-day that this family goes through. Now, this man was ready to give. So he told Rabbi Chaim, okay, come in, we'll go into my parlor, we'll sit down, and we'll discuss it. But Rabbi Chaim just kept going on. Now, this person had just rushed to the door. He hadn't put on an overcoat or anything. And it was a freezing night. Freezing, you know, Polish night. And he wanted to get Rabbi Chaim into the house. But Rabbi Chaim just stood at the door and wouldn't enter. He just kept going on and on about this family. And this person is standing there in his shirt sleeves, and he's really starting to shiver. So again, he keeps on trying to respectfully interrupt the Rav and say, please, come in, we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. But the Rav just kept on going on. And the man is mamish, really shivering. And finally he just said to the Rav, he said, I hear what you're saying, I have to stop our conversation now, we have to go inside. So finally Rabbi Chaim said to him, it's cold, it's hot for you to be cold, that's exactly what I wanted you to feel. We would go into inside into your heated parlor, and we would sit down, and I would try to describe to you the suffering of a family who's cold. You have no idea what that really means because you never really experienced it. Anytime you go out of the house, you put on your heavy overcoat, and when you're in the house, you have it very, very luxuriously heated. You would hear, a family's cold, oh yeah, I should give them some kopecks. You just stood at the door now for 10 minutes, and you weren't able to bear the cold, and you had to rush into your heated parlor. Now I want you to think about that family that can't get to a heated parlor. They're in that shack, husband, wife, small children, and they can't get away from the cold. I wanted you to feel that when you're considering in what way you're going to help. So on the contrary, what the Chovas HaLevavos is undermining here is, again, it's relative to Hashem. But these are actually things that we consider the most noble traits of a Jew. So that's why it's a very, very fine point that has to be well understood. But But nevertheless, the Chavis HaLavis is coming and telling us that realize that absolute altruism, absolute pure sense of only wanting to benefit you without any self-serving interest at all is only by Hashem. And of course we understand how this applies to these other things. Even though here also, the Chavis HaLavis kind of it makes it sound like, oh, a rich person gives tzedakah to a poor person because he wants schar. He's just doing it for his own purposes. He's making a very good deal. Now again, we come back and say that a person who really understands that by giving $1,000 to a poor person, he's going to be gaining that much more, is certainly a person on a high level. A person who lives that way. A person who lives his life saying, I'm willing to trade in material things that I have for Olam Haba, right? We certainly relate to such a person with great respect. That's a person living on a high level. We can live our whole life feeling like we're gaining Olam Haba through the things we do. That's a person living on a very high level. So once again, what the Chavis HaLavis is undermining here, we shouldn't take this as really undermining. These are the highest levels that a Jew could aspire to. But the Chavis HaLavis point is, once again, that at the end of the day, it's still not Hashem. It's still not Hashem. Hashem's chesed is that many notches above in terms of its quality. But certainly, let's all aspire to be the person who finds it easy to part with his money because he understands that he's making a very good deal in terms of Olam Haba. And, you know what? The same goes for the other cases also. When it comes to a person who gives tzedakah for recognition, gives tzedakah because he wants the respect, do we have a problem with that? On the contrary, he deserves the recognition. We give him the recognition, right? We're very happy to put up big plaques, and we're very happy to put up names and big outside of our Torah institutions because, yes, if a person wants to give to these causes and be recognized for it, on the contrary, he deserves to be recognized. He should also have a certain sense of L'shem Shemayim involved, but doing the right thing for also somewhat self-serving purposes is something very important because otherwise nobody would do anything. We're all human beings. There was actually a humorous maisa about Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman, who was once talking to a person who did a lot of, he would create Torah learning institutions, and then he would go around the world collecting for them, fundraising. And these were, he had many institutions that he bore on his shoulders. And he spent a lot of effort, time, energy fundraising for them. So one time, Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman said to him, let me ask you something. So you get a lot of recognition for everything that you do. How much of it is L'shem Shemayim? How much of your activities are L'shem Shemayim? How much are you doing truly altruistically just for the mitzvah? So the person was a very honest person. And he said to Rabbi Aaron Leib, the truth, I'd say about 15% is L'shem Shemayim. So Baron Leib said to him, then it's a shame that it's not only 10%. If you would have that much more self-serving motivation, maybe you'd make even more money for these moistures. Baron Leib was making a point. Baron Leib was making a point that as human beings, yes, things that we do are going to be self-serving. And if we can actually manage to insert L'shem Shemayim in along with that, that's actually a great achievement. If we're doing good things, people do bad things in self-serving ways also. That people who choose to do good things in self-serving ways, if a person wants to get his recognition through supporting poor people, through supporting Torah institutions, etc., so on the contrary, we give him that recognition. And then it'll be his job. We all start anything we do with self-serving motives. And then we try to refine it and add as more L'shem Shemayim as we possibly can. But it isn't really a put-down that, hey, you're doing very great things, but you're doing them for your own purposes. That's not necessarily a put-down. Yes, you want to be aspiring higher all the time, but such people do deserve that recognition. That's what Rabbi Victor Miller used to say. You know, there's a few different layers of the concept of, you have people who, before they eat on Shabbos, they'll say, L'chvayit Shabbos Kodesh, about to dig into a piece of meat. Before they say this is in honor of Shabbos. It's such a practice. Right? It says in the Sfarim, it's a good thing to do, to actually declare that I'm doing this in honor of Shabbos. So then you have the opposite approach of those who will come and say, come on, you're a phony. You're doing it in honor of Shabbos. When you're digging into that piece of meat, you're doing it in honor of your stomach. You're doing it in honor of your palate. This is not about Shabbos. Be honest with yourself. Don't kid anybody. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, and this is something that was expressed by many of the great Balei Avoda. He said, one minute. It's not true. He said, of course, when a person is eating, certainly he's doing it in order to enjoy the food. But by saying, L'chvoid Shabbos Kodesh, he's reminding himself that there's that also. And therefore, he's inserting an element of Shabbos into his mind. So, if beforehand, if without saying that, it would be 100% lichvoid my stomach, now, hey, you know what? I actually inserted 10% lichvoid Shabbos also. That's a great achievement. That's a great achievement. That's not something to be undermined. That's the way we work, sure. We start with it being on a selfish level, because at the end of the day, we're human, and we try to insert into that as much pure intent as we can. That's not something to put down unless you want to, again, you want to put down the fact that we're human. Put down the fact that we're human. But, yes, we everything we do starts in a self-serving way, and we try to raise it to a level as much L'shem Shamayim as we can. And if we can get in 2% L'shem Shamayim, 98% self-serving, 2% L'shem Shamayim, that's infinitely more than 0% L'shem Shamayim. And then if from 2% we can go to 5%, and then from there to 12%, we're growing. And that's what living as a Jew is about. So once again, the Chovos HaLevavos is pointing out to us that at the end of the day, as much as we admire all the various types of human giving, at the end of the day, true altruism is only in Hashem's giving. And this is where he wants to go, to show that in terms of our gratitude, we have to understand that everything that Hashem gives to us, he has no natural need to do that. He gives it to us because of a place of love, but that's not love that he can't control. It's love that he decided to have. He decided to love us. He decided to feel for us. And in that sense, this places Hashem's chesed that many notches above any chesed that any human being could possibly do. Okay, we'll end here this week, and then we'll see where the Chovos HaLevavos is taking us, Be'ezus Hashem. Next week, we'll unmute and we'll part.